Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wednesday night social hour chat here on By Yahweh's Design. It is the 27th day of March, year 2024, Wednesday night. And our trip down memory lane and the movie Idiocracy continues. Unbelievable things, especially with the incident at bridge there in the port of Baltimore, where supposedly, according to one video creator, 25% of the East Coast ocean traffic, or I should say freight, goes in and out of that harbor. It's a huge harbor. And effectively, with the collapsing of that bridge, it has shut the harbor down, as far as we know. So again, they're messing with the shipping, just like they did over in the Suez Canal with all the crazy stuff that they claimed was accidental over there, and that's, we know that's not true. This one was not accidental either. It's pretty evident there were no explosives involved. People tried to say it was, but really not. But the ship did not drift over into that pylon by itself. It was guided there. Now, whether somebody on the boat or from off the boat, we don't know that yet, but people are still investigating it. All we do know is that the official version is a lie, as always, and sooner or later we'll get the truth. But this was an intentional act by somebody, nefarious forces, and it's going to have a dramatic impact, especially in the northeastern part of the country, with the in and out shipping by the large container ships that go in and out of that harbor. So just stay aware, especially folks up in the Northeast. If you get a lot of import stuff and all this could impact and cause extra delays and things like that. It's not going to impact people on the West Coast much, obviously, or in the Southwest or Southeast, because they have their own ports. But for folks, it's pretty obvious that it's going to have an impact up there. And a lot of people, population-wise, a lot of people in the country live up in the Northeast. So word to the wise there. But here again, as we've been saying, we're living in insane times. And of all times, to be very, very careful about your mental health and your physical health right now, it's crucial. Okay, if you don't have access to good books on natural health and healing, contact me. I can send them to you. Jeremiah is on with us tonight. He's a board-certified health coach, natural health coach. Ella is a retired nurse, but she's also gifted in the area of natural healing. So just within our own family here, we've got an awful lot of information for people if they have needs in the area of their, again, physical and mental health as we go into this period. So not only by the medical knowledge that we have, but also the spiritual, because this is a spiritual war. So we have a lot of information we can share with you about that area. And fellowship, discipleship, is one of the ways that Yeshua told his disciples that we could maintain our composure when we're going through rough times. And certainly these are rough times. So very, very important to maintain our fellowship with one another, networking with one another, sharing our concerns, our knowledge, our wisdom, and coming through this as a family, which is exactly what he wants us to do. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and we'll get into an open forum discussion here. I think, there we go. You can unmute yourself, Jeremiah, if you want. But what do you guys think? What are your thoughts on the insanity that we're hearing about today?
It's insane. There's nothing else to say.
Well, it's insane, all right.
The whole medical system is, it's not what it used to be. It doesn't do what it should do. It does do what it shouldn't do, and it lies. And it's very dangerous to put yourself in the hands of medical people, the institutional medical people of today. So your one survival in this world is going to be knowing what Yahweh has for all of us, the naturopaths, the ones that tell us how to take care of ourselves naturally. And that's generally by fueling your body with food. And what they're selling in stores today is not food. Be careful what you eat, what you put in your body, and keep yourself as healthy as you can, not according to man's ways, but according to Yahweh's ways. I'll yield.
Amen to that. Jeremiah, you got anything to add to that?
No, not at this time.
Oh, okay. Very good. I was going to ask you, Angel, do you want to tell the folks a little bit about your episode in the Medical Mafia here recently, or would you rather not?
Well, I'm still going through it now. It's just about 2.5 weeks into it. I mean, tell the rest of the people. I went out to get my mail as I normally would at 11 o'clock on the 11th between the 10th and the... Anyway, it was Monday night. And for some reason, my foot went up from under me and I fell on my head and I broke my right wrist. And it happened in a matter of 2 seconds. And then I had to go from there. And it's been an adventure. And I found that you do have a choice when you go to hospitals and doctors. If you go in there and they tell you, you need this, no, you don't need it. You can refuse it. I was told, well, if you fell in the driveway, you probably need a tetanus shot. When was your last tetanus shot? I says, I don't even remember how long ago it was, but I do not want it now. Okay, they did not give me a tetanus shot. I said, I do not want anybody paying attention to any other system except what I had happened. I have a fractured right wrist. Fix it. Make me compliant with the things that'll do to help heal it. I don't want anything else. That's all I want. My blood pressure may be high. My stress is high. My heart rate may be irregular. I don't care. Right now, my wrist is what the problem is, and that's the only problem I'm here for. And they did that.
Yeah. I just talked to my family up on the west coast of Florida. They have a neighbor, two retired police officers from Toledo. And he's in his mid-70s. And apparently he had a minor stroke about a week ago. And they were telling me about his episode at the hospital, and it was very similar to yours. They kept telling him he needed this and he needed that, and he just wanted to go home. And they kept telling him, no, you can't go home. That's against medical recommendation, advice, against medical advice or recommendation. They tried to tell him about different drugs that he needed to be on. And every time he protested, they kept trying to tell him, oh, no, you absolutely must do this, must do that. And he finally said, look, I'm going home, period. I'm not going to do anything you're talking about, so stop. They finally did let him go, but it was the point that they did the exact same thing with him, so that's over 1,000 miles away, and yet the way they behaved was exactly the same. And recently, my daughter, who is a senior nurse, and she's a supervising nurse at three different campuses, she had an episode where she had to go to the hospital for a respiratory problem. And even though they know she's a nurse, they were trying to pull the same thing on her. And she kept telling them, look, I'm a nurse. I know how this works. I don't need the things you're telling me I need. And I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. So, you know, but it's, they're so ingrained with this desire to make money, because that's really what's driving all this, the love of money, just like the Bible says. The root of all evil is the love or lusting for money. And the medical mafia, as well as the government, as well as entertainment, as well as the corporate world, they all, and now even our militaries, They are in the same boat. The military is in the same boat. Now, how do I know that? About 6-7 years ago, I went to the American Legion. It was during the time that we were in Syria, so whatever year that was. And they had just pulled our troops out of Syria, so I was down at the American Legion at the bar, and the bartender was the wife of a Marine officer at our local airbase here. And so we're conversing at the bar, and I said, well, I bet your husband is glad that we're pulling out of Syria. And she just looked at me, and she goes, well, not really. And I just looked at her, and I said, what? Why wouldn't any military person be glad we're pulling out of a hot spot? And she goes, well, let's just say we're heavily invested. So even at the lower ranks level, people are invested in war and weapons and destruction to where now even at the lower ranks, people are willing to go to war and intervene in other people's business because they're invested in the stock market or they're invested in the military-industrial complex. So you can imagine what's going on at the Pentagon level if at the little local airbase level a Marine captain is making money off of our guys being put in harm's way. So, and John, we got John with us right now from up in Michigan. So welcome to the program, John. I've got you unmuted, so you can jump in if you want.
Okay. Thank you. I'm listening.
Okay. Very good. And by the way, that was an excellent interview on the National Liberty Alliance call-in Monday night with Sheriff Darleaf up there in Michigan. So great job.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Very good. A courageous man, a courageous organization, and we need courage today at all levels because a lot of people are afraid. I mean, it is a scary time, especially if you're not grounded in the truth of Yahweh and the truth of biblical law, which supports all the natural stuff. If you're not grounded in that and you're hanging your hopes on the lying media and the lying government, the lying corporatocracy or the lying medical mafia, if you're at the mercy of those folks, you're in a bad way. So I can see why a lot of people are somewhat worried and, how should we say, anxious because of what's going on. We got Melissa with us now, too. Welcome, Melissa.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yep. Good evening. You know, you're talking about that, but it's really interesting. If you remember, one of the things he said is on social media, these a lot of these people, the bad actors or whatever like that, are really giving them a hard time on social media. But the people in Berry County, the people across the country, are with him. He's getting, you know, when he starts getting people saying bad things about him on social media, the locals get on social media, and it's 10-1 in his favor. And I think it's the same, pretty much the same thing for all of us. We listen, as you just said, we listen to the mainstream media instead of our neighbors and finding out what the heck's going on. And people, I don't think you believe half the crap we're being fed. I certainly don't. And it was comforting to me anyway to listen to him talking like that and saying, okay, you know, I mean, there are good people out there. There's a lot of good people out there. There are people with grandchildren just like we got and their children just like we have, and they're concerned about it. And he is, and he is doing something about it. And so it's, like you say, it was comforting. From that aspect, it was comforting for me anyway.
Right, exactly. And it is true. You know, even in my own case where I've had this radio show for almost 25 years now, and when it started out, we were lucky to have 5 or 6 people at a night, and very few people downloaded the archives and everything. But we kept going anyway, because we always said that even if it was only one Israelite at a time, that's what we would do to wake people up and get the truth out there. Plus, we archived everything from day one. And so all those thousands of hours of interviews and lessons in identity and archaeology and all the other different sciences, they have been up there and available for a long, long time. In fact, it was interesting. One of my newer listeners went back to the archive and listened to the radio show we did the night of 9/11 in 2001. So the very night that the Twin Towers went down, that night we did a radio show. Fearless Jim Floyd was on with me out of Alabama. He has since passed on to be with the Father. But he was on that night, and several other of my friends, and I believe there was a couple guys from Michigan, because I was living in Michigan at the time. And it was interesting when my friend told me he listened to that interview or that radio show. He wrote to me and he said, "Man, you guys were spot on the very night it happened." And I went back and listened to it because I was curious. I'd forgotten, and he was right. I mean, we pretty much debunked the whole thing the very night that it happened, and talked about it that night, and talked about the fact that they would lie and distort it and use it for cover and everything, exactly what they did. So Yahweh's people have discernment. Because, first of all, we don't trust them. That's where discernment comes from. You don't trust, okay? You don't trust openly these voices, whether it's the government or the medical mafia or news, whatever. Even alternative media, you got to have discernment. Doesn't matter what it is. You have to do a little bit of investigation. You have to do some prayer time. You have to do a little bit of meditation on your own. And you also have to have some patience. You know, we want to jump out there and try to assess everything within the first 24 hours. And sometimes that's just not possible. You got to let a few days go by, let more facts come out, and then you can better ascertain. You know, it's not what they want us to be, is easily led astray with instantaneous reports. Well, that's what the Jews want. They don't want you to look into things. They want you to react immediately, just like the day they convinced the crowd to scream for Barabbas to be released and to crucify Christ. Okay, it's the same idea. They wanted instantaneous emotional response rather than a couple days to think about things, when people might have said, "Why the hell would we want a murderer like Barabbas when Yahshua has done nothing wrong to anybody? You people are crazy." So they don't want that. They want that instantaneous, your blind rage to take over instead of logic. And that way the Jew can manipulate you wherever you want to go. And really, all the psyops that are going on right now, they're all Jewish organized staged events to drive us like cattle. Remember, they think we're all cattle anyway. And so this is just a way for them to be like a rancher driving their cattle from one pasture to another. They're driving us from one staged event to another because it's what they want to do to manipulate, either get us to spend money or not spend money, to tax us or to give up our rights or whatever. It's always driving us somewhere by our emotions. I yield.
Well, you know, it was interesting, like you talk about 9/11, but January 6th, I remember that night. I was down there in Washington, D.C., and so were probably a million other people. So you got to figure that if there's a million people there, more or less, there's a lot of people. It was one out of every 330 people in the country were there. 330 million people, And so there's a lot of people down there. And all of us were down there. We saw what happened. I mean, and not, I bet you not one person out of, maybe two out of 100, maybe realize there's anybody inside the Capitol down there. And I mean, I heard all these different things and people saying, "Well, about this, about that." I says, "Well, where were you at down there?" "Well, I wasn't down there." I said, "I was. I was down there. I saw what was happening, and none of the stuff that they said happened did. I mean, for 99% of the people, anyway." And then I know when we were driving back from D.C. that night, I called in. I talked to you on that thing. We were talking about the lady that got killed, at Ashley Babbitt. But I mean, I had no idea. I had no idea that anything like that happened down there. And I was there. So, that was inside a building, whatever like that. But I mean, like you're saying, you believe maybe 10% of what you see and 5% of what you hear, and the rest of it is pretty much all lies or some variation of lies. I yield.
I'd like
Amen.
To say something too. I was at my daughter's house. In fact, I just got home today. I've been spending 2.5 weeks at her house in recuperation. And I don't have a television. And this has been my first experience of television in about 4 years. And I was just astounded. There was nothing on for days. Just all about that bridge, over and over and over and over and over, making it look like it was the most historically horrendous event happening in history. And the way that it is blown up, and I was looking at it, and I was looking at my son-in-law and saying to myself, you know, how can you believe this claptrap? But they believe every word. They understand and believe everything that happens on that tube. And that's what generally most of the public believes out there. They watch television, and that's their truth. And that's where they're getting their truth from. I'll yield.
Well, we're watching TV. We're also watching the computer screens. We're doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing anyone. You know, there's a lot of good stuff out there. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. We have to be able to discern. I think that's the biggest thing. You better be preparing for discernment.
Because if it
doesn't make sense, you know, maybe your red flag should go up, your blinders should go on, your red light start blinking.
Well, people are just filled with cognitive dissonance. They believe two truths at once, and they can't do it.
Right. Well, in January 6th thing, I was down there. So, I mean, what they're saying, I know it's a bunch of baloney. So, you know, and I tell people that. And if they believe me, they believe me. If they don't, they don't. You know, and maybe they think I'm lying. I don't know. I don't lie, though. So.
Well, I watched all those things, too. And having been a nurse for many, many years, I've watched all these things, the Boston Marathon massacre and all that kind of thing, and that head shooting of that congresswoman or something like that. I could tell after watching those films for 30 seconds that they were lying, because there's never any real blood. If you look at all those scenarios, none of it is ever real. You could see more realistic scenarios in the movies. If you watch 2012 or something, they make things more realistic. But I'll tell you, they had that guy that supposedly got his leg cut off above the knee, wheeling him around in a wheelchair. If that had happened in real life, if you cut your femoral vein, you're dead in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, realistically, you have to look at those things and just not understand or try to understand what they're programming on television is exactly that. It's programming. It's scenarios. They're making up scenes. They're making up movies. But people don't want to believe that because they want to believe the lie, because if they started to believe what really is going on, then they would have to do something about it. And why would they ever want to leave their comfortable little ruts and have to try to fight City Hall, so to speak, and get themselves involved and get out of their rut and experience some discomfort? People don't want to do that. I'll yield.
Well, what amazed me is the fact that they're not even very good at these staged events. I mean, I remember back in 2020 when they started pushing that COVID was a real thing and that there was a pandemic. And I remember at my brother's house, I was staying with them at the time, and they had the TV on, of course. And they were showing scenes at the hospital. And I said, are you guys watching this? And they said, what do you mean? I says, they're showing you these hospitals with all these tents and things set up. I said, but look, there's nobody there. So the narrative is saying, oh, we have this disaster. Look at what we've had to do. I said, but don't listen to what they're saying. Look what's on the screen. There's nobody there.
Right. Well, they had
I mean, it was ridiculous.
they had that hospital ship come up to wherever, whatever harbor that was, and nobody, I mean, I think maybe one or two people got on the hospital ship. They had, you know, those dire circumstances, and literally one or two people got on the hospital ship after a week or two and finally left because there was nothing there. Same thing.
Exactly. Here's one that I actually did, okay? This actually happened to me. I was in Virginia helping my brother with a family matter when this all came down. So we were stuck up in Virginia, okay? And so about a month or so after this thing started, we were finished with what we had to do in Virginia, and we were wanting to come back to Florida. Well, there was all kind of hype and stuff about, well, travel's nearly impossible because everything's roadblocked and, you know, this. And then at the same time, DeSantis put up this big, massive roadblock on I-95 and the turnpike coming back into northern Florida. So we're sitting there, and we've got a big SUV with a 12-foot U-Haul behind it, and we're thinking, this could be trouble. We may not even be able to make it home. So we start on the journey. Well, the one good thing about it was leaving Virginia on I-95, it was the only time I've ever driven on I-95. It was actually a pleasant experience. There was almost nobody on the road. So few people had enough courage to say, F you, I'm gonna drive somewhere anyway. We drove all the way from Virginia, almost in Florida, with almost nobody on I-95. It was fantastic. And the few cars that were on there were all like us. We didn't see anybody with a mask on. Everybody was smiling. We waved at each other. We all gave each other thumbs up because we had enough courage to get out and say, screw you, we're going to live our lives. And the blessing was the road was wide open. In fact, there were almost as many commercial trucks on the road as there were cars. So that's how few cars there were. But the commercial drivers now, they didn't slow down. There were all kind of 18-wheelers and delivery trucks. None of them had masks on. So we get all the way down to Georgia, and we're getting ready to go into Florida, and we've been listening to all these terrible reports, and we saw the video cameras where hundreds of police cars all over the checkpoint coming into Florida, and we thought, well, here we go. So we slow up. We're coming up to where the checkpoints are. There's maybe 15, 20 cop cars with their lights on, and all of the cops are just leaning against their cars. They're not doing anything. They're kind of like talking on their cell phones, whatever. They're not doing anything with the traffic. And so the cars all have to pull off to the right, but all of the trucks go straight through. They don't even slow down. They had the left lane wide open for them to just keep right on going. So we looked at each other, and it was like, wait a minute, how does a disease know only to affect 4-wheelers and not 18-wheelers and delivery trucks? How does it differentiate? So, you know, we're laughing. We're going, this is ridiculous. So we come up to the checkpoint, and we slow down, and we notice nobody is stopping. They're slowing down, but they're not stopping. So we thought, what the hell? So we come up finally. We're behind this car, and that car takes off. And so we creep along, and there's a black guy and two black women with just like lawn chairs and a gazebo little fold-out thing from Walmart. That was it. That was the most sophisticated thing that was there. And as we pulled up, they said, okay, where are you coming from? We said, Virginia. Okay, have a nice trip. And kept right on going. So all the hype was about this massive lockdown and how serious this was. And it was all a stage production. Totally idiotic. We drove right through it, drove all the way back down to southern Florida, and everything was fine. So once again, fear porn, staged events, photo ops, the media blew it up what they wanted to do to get everybody into a fear mode when the reality was nothing of the sort was what was actually going on. I yield.
remember Close Encounters of the First Kind, where they're having all this hype and they have a bubonic plague or anthrax or something. There was something, everybody was wearing masks, and the guy finally just took his mask off and everybody looked at him, and then when he took off his mask, everybody else did too, and they realized it was a scam. Same thing. It's and the Wag the Dog. That's one thing that they have done, if you guys think about that, is if you've ever seen a movie with Dustin Hoffman, Wag the Dog, it goes right through what we're talking about here, where they're using just maybe a movie producer to put this thing together to scare the people or con the people, and it was really an interesting movie. But I mean, basically that's what they're doing in Hollywood. I don't know why they do that, but they have to tell the truth sometimes, and they did that in Wag the Dog. It's pretty interesting if you ever watch that movie.
Everybody should see Wag the Dog. That should be compulsory watching for every citizen.
Yeah, Wag the Dog and They Live. All right,
yeah,
both of them.
That's a good one too. Yep.
Yep, those are two movies that every patriot, everybody that gives a shit about what's going on right now, those are two must-watch movies. And they're older movies. You should be able to get them for free, either on Tubi TV or BitChute or even on YouTube. There's people that have movie channels where you can stream it for free. But even if you got to pay a couple bucks to rent it, I mean, they're old, so there shouldn't be no more than just $2-3 to rent the thing. Rent the two of those movies on a weekend and watch both of them, because they'll tell you a lot about what's going on. They really will. Wag the Dog is exactly what we have going on. Oh, I'll throw a third one in. Capricorn 1. Because that'll show the fake NASA space program. So those three will show you how they do it. And it's almost like they're bragging about the fact that we are so stupid, and we are so driven by our eyes with the visual that it overtakes our brains, because for centuries and millennia, especially the white race, we were of the idea that if I see something, it must be real, because there were no video equipment back then. There was no movies. There was no television. There was no cameras, okay? So for thousands of years, our people had it in their head that if I see something, it has to be real, because there was no such thing as fake visual back then, no virtual reality. But that's not true in the modern age with electronics and television and movies and cellophane and then now digital reproduction and digital movies, etc. And then you have the video editing that they have, and now green screen with computer generated graphics. It's easy to create visuals that are completely false. But in our brains that have been functioning in a certain way for thousands of years, those people with very little discernment and very low IQ, they have a very tough time with that, because their primitive side of their brain has got more control. And the primitive side is going, oh, my gosh, it's visual. It must be true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember back in the 1970s or 80s, a member of my family told me that, well, Dan, what you're telling me about what's going on can't be true. And I said, well, what do you mean? And they said, well, if it were true, it'd be on television. And I started laughing. I said, wait a minute. Did you just say what I thought you said? It would be on television? I said, wait a minute. How old are you? You don't know television is controlled by a handful of corporate leaders? But they actually believe that. If it's on television, it's true. And if it's not on television, it must be false. It must be a lie. I was dumbfounded. Dumbfounded.
And they believe that, though. Yeah.
They actually do.
Don't forget about V for Vendetta.
Oh, that's a goodie.
Yeah, well, don't forget about V for Vendetta.
Yeah, V for Vendetta is another one. But those three should be the the hardcore basics, minimum. Take a weekend and watch those three. Now, if you still want to be, have your eyes opened, V for Vendetta is another one of my all-time favorites. I probably watched that thing at least 10 times. In fact, I think I've watched all of them 5 or 10 times. But V for Vendetta for sure. And now there's parts of V for Vendetta I don't care for, and I'm pretty sure most people know obviously which sections I'm talking about. But the overall gist of the movie I love, because, again, it talks about what we're witnessing in the reality of this world. It's exactly what happens in that movie. So those four would make a great, what do they call that, binge. Have a binge weekend, rent those four movies, and during the weekend, by the time the weekend's over and you've watched those four movies, you're going to have, your eyes are going to be open because you're witnessing in real time.
There's another one you can add in there, too. It's by A.N. Rand.
Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged by A.N. Rand. That's right around the same theme as V for Vendetta and telling just exactly what's going on. And another thing that they had years ago, when Stephen King first came out with The Shining, and that, what is that director that directed his first video of that movie? I forget what his name is, but he directed it, but it was nothing like the book, and Stephen King had a real fit because it wasn't like the book. But what that director did was took out events from the moon landing and put them in there, and it shows obviously little pieces here and there of just how fake the moon landings were at that time. I forget what that director's name is now. I used to know it like the back of my hand, but
it wasn't Aaron Russo, was it?
No.
Spielberg. Hmm. Did you ever notice that all the pictures of the moon, there was no stars in the background?
Right.
No, because they weren't on the moon. And also when he first stepped off for that ladder saying, one step for mankind, one leap for mankind, or whatever the heck he said, who was taking the picture?
Yeah, I know. It's it's hiding it right in plain sight because they figure, and let's face it, most of the time, they're right. The average person has so little discernment, they can get away with this bullshit. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. The average person out there is like a mental midget. They're idiots. They're rocks.
I'd like to know how much they paid Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong to shut their mouths.
Oh, they looked guilty. They looked like they were going through severe pain when they're sitting in that panel at the desk and people were asking them about seeing the stars and did this and that. They looked like they were ashamed of themselves.
Once your eyes are opened and you go back and look at the interviews with them and you look at some of the videos and all, you almost have to laugh. It's like going back and look at an old silent movie that was made around 1910. Okay. You look at that stuff and you go, how did anybody believe this bullshit? And I remember when that stuff was all happening in high school, and we believed it. We sat there glued to the television set. Wow, we made it to the moon, blah, blah. Nobody ever stopped and said, what if they're lying? We just blindly believed it was true.
How about that moon lander, that thing there that was a bunch of aluminum foil taped together with duct tape?
I know.
Can you imagine something that flying through space with men in it and everything?
No.
That would be blown to bits.
It's ludicrous. Everything about the space program is ludicrous. That's why you got to watch Capricorn 1. Capricorn 1 exposes it. It's almost like whoever made the movie, this must have been his penance before he died or something. He had to put something out there to show a semblance of truth, even though the average person's too damn dumb or lazy to watch it. But Capricorn 1, you watch it and you're sitting there laughing and you're going, wow, they're actually showing what they do. But the average person thinks, oh, no, that's just a movie. They wouldn't really do that. Really? These bastards are capable of killing millions of people and lying about the Twin Towers, and you don't think they can lie about a space program? What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, if you're going to really sound like, look, go watch the movie Groundhog Day where it keeps going. We're We're the Groundhog Day.
That's a good one, too.
But, I mean, that's the other side of it. You know, it's like, how stupid are we, okay? They put it out there and just, you know, we're pretty darn dumb, that's for sure.
No, yeah. I think it's we're not deceitful. And when we're young, we can't wrap our minds around something like that. We're being deceived because it's not in our hearts to act that way. That's why I think a lot of people, especially our people, buy it, because naturally we are not a deceitful people like they are.
Well, we were always brought up in school to admire and totally respect our government. I mean, that was like watching kings, you know, walk the red carpet and you know, all the whole pomp and circumstance and all that stuff. Not any of it. Watching that on television was like watching the Queen's coronation. So how are we to believe anything else except they must be telling us the truth because they're next to God? And that's exactly the position that they put themselves in. We are supposed to be worshiping them as our government instead of God. I'll yield.
Well, that's what happens when you turn your back on the living God and you follow idols to worship, okay? Because really what you're talking about is idol worship, whether it's a TV program, a sports figure, a government figure, a medical figure, mainstream media figure, whatever, an astronaut, whoever. If you set them up to where you give them blind obedience and trust, then you have turned them into an idol. And Yahweh tells us very clearly never to do that. Go ahead.
Doesn't he always tell us not to make an oath or not to swear or anything? And what do? We all stand up there and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag, et cetera, and so forth. We swear allegiance to everything except Yahweh.
Exactly. Right. Right. And besides that, the flag that we're swearing allegiance to is a military flag. It's not the flag of peace, the civilian flag. That and even that flag, we shouldn't be swearing allegiance to any flag, okay? Because the people that are leading the country as we have today could be antichrists. So blind allegiance to a military, a police, a government, or even a nation is, again, a crime. It's a sin because your leaders might not be godly people at all. And the scripture makes it very clear that you are never to give your loyalty and allegiance to ungodly people. Never supposed to do that. So just blindly pledging allegiance is actually a sin, if you think of it that way.
Well, we were always taught, at least I was in school, you don't give allegiance to the person, you give allegiance to the office and the uniform that they're wearing. But, you know, when you look at a person that has a uniform on, you don't differentiate when you're young. You know, the person in that uniform is supposed to be honorable, but we don't learn until much later that they're anything but. I'll yield.
Well, the other problem that exacerbates the overall problem is the fact we don't hold anybody accountable anymore. If it was like it was 100 years ago where a bad cop or a bad political figure, just like the founding fathers, if there was a bad magistrate or a bad constable or a bad politician who was violating God's law or he was committing treason, they took him out and they hung him. Okay? They made a public execution of the guy. They didn't waste any time. So people had incentive to be honorable. Then you could have more respect for the office. But we don't hold anybody accountable at any level.
There's
so
no
you're
there's no repeat
go ahead.
Offenders. There's no repeat offenders when you do that either.
That's exactly
right.
It.
I
all
did
these
a
criminals now, they'd go to a court and they go get for some bashing someone's head in, they get 6 months in jail, they're out in 3 months, and they're doing it all over again. If they went by biblical rules, you know, it's either death or retribution. If it's one of those two.
Restitution.
Restitution
or execution.
Yep.
If they went to that, there wouldn't be all these criminals out there, because they knew damn well if they got caught, they'd either die or they have to pay someone back.
Here's the other problem. If you go back, if you look at any of the state's crime statistics, or even go to the federal level, go look up how much crime is committed by repeat offenders. Okay? You're going to find out, like I did years ago, that the vast majority of crime is committed by repeat offenders. Now you know why the Jew did everything they could do to get rid of capital punishment and biblical punishment, because they want chaos. They want everything to fall apart, and they want to stay in power. And most of them are what? Lawyers, judges, magistrates, prosecutors, etc. So they want lots of crime because that's good for business. Whereas God's law would do away with it.
Jailing people up just increases it even to a magnitude we can't even consider anymore. And to put a person into a prison in an 8x9 cage is the total epitome of inhumanity.
Yeah, you're caging a man up like an animal, which is totally ridiculous. Prisons.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can say something because I worked at Attica Prison myself, so for almost 18 years now. So yeah, a majority of them are repeat offenders. I mean, there's convicts in there that have been back four or five times. So they call it corrections, but it doesn't correct anything for the most part.
No, they just go, it's like an academy. They go in there to learn how to do it better next time, so they're more likely not to get caught. So, but it's inhumane. It's inhumane. First of all, everybody that commits a capital crime should be executed. All right? Period. As soon as they're found guilty and it was a fair trial, it has to be a fair trial, biblical. As soon as they're found guilty, you take them out into the courtyard and you execute them. Done. Why do we have to pay for them for the rest of their life? Pay for their dental, pay for their health, pay to incarcerate them, pay for the prisons, pay for the food, etc., etc. It's ridiculous. Yahweh told us the simple solution.
When they're sentenced to death, what do? They're in prison fighting that appealing it for the next 25 years.
Well, I can tell you that they have it better than a veteran that's homeless on the street. That's for sure. In New York State, they do. They pretty much the state pretty much takes care of criminals hand over foot, basically. And I can say it firsthand because I'm in there every day and I watch it and I see it. They have more rights than even I do in there now. And there's veterans that are homeless on the streets, and they take care of them better than the veterans, basically.
And the prisoners get into prison and they get a college education and become lawyers, learning how to get themselves freed.
Yep, it's free. Yep, they get free college. All their medical is taken care of. By the taxpayer. So they're. They tax us to death up here, and it goes pretty much to them, I would say.
You're rewarded for being a criminal in this country.
Pretty much. You get three hot meals a day. You got a place to, a nice warm bed to sleep in and stuff. And, you got all sorts of programs. And I mean, they're not locked in their cell. They're pretty much out almost, I'd say 18 hours of the day. They have it better than most people out on the street, to be honest with you. Because if you're not in jail, I mean, you have to pay for everything, and they're taxing the normal person to death, where they can't even hardly make ends meet. Even if you got kids, I mean, at least in New York State, I see it. I mean, it's just me and my wife now. My kids are grown up and gone, but I mean, I can tell you right now, I hear it all the time. It's hard to make ends meet at all. I mean, I can't imagine raising a family these days. I mean, we go to the store because we don't need to as much anymore. And it's just, you know, there's hardly anything in the damn shopping cart, and it's like freaking 60, 70 bucks or more. And I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's true. The prices for everything are just keep going up and up and up and up. Inflation is just another form of taxation, okay? Again, it's government-controlled because the bankers control our money instead of our elected officials, even though they're not worth a damn anymore, anymore. But ideally, the money should be in the hands of people that owe their allegiance to us, not a bunch of bankers. And so we are suffering under our turning our backs on two people, our ancestors who founded this country and set it up the right way, and Yahweh himself. Okay, those two people had our best interests at heart and set things up properly. Yahweh, of course, because he made this whole world. He knows how it works, and so he gave us a manual on how to do it. Our ancestors, who so it would not happen over here. Unfortunately, in comes the Jew, who takes control of the money, and with control of the money, they start buying up industry, they buy up the banking, they buy up the Congress people they need, they put their sons through law school and make them into lawyers and judges and government officials, even though lawyers were never supposed to be allowed to hold public office. Again, we don't do what our ancestors told us to do. We don't do what our ancestors in the Bible told us to do. We are disobedient children. And so the punishment for disobedience is what we're living right now. There was an old saying when I was a young man. It said, if you want to prove somebody wrong, let them do it the way they want to do it. Instead of arguing with somebody, let them do it the way they want to do it. That's the best way you can show somebody they're full of shit and they're wrong. Just let them go ahead and do it. And when they fall flat on their face, then you can go pick them up, and if they listen, then you can educate them. But a lot of times you just got to let people go do what they want. Well, we've been a spoiled group of people for 100 years, maybe more, and we turned our back on every aspect of society that our ancestors set up to protect us. And all the Jew had to do is tie it to money. That's all we had to do. Tie it to money and put it on flat screens so that we'd watch it, we'd laugh at it, we'd think it was somebody smarter than us telling us, when most of the time it's an actor, and even worse, a Jewish actor, pretending to be a doctor, pretending to be an auto mechanic, pretending to be a beautician, whatever, telling you nothing but a pack of lies so that they can make money. And we bought it. Instead of standing our ground and saying, no, we're not going to go that way. Okay, I know, because my generation and growing up, most of the people I worked with throughout my career, their favorite thing to say to me was, you're getting paid. That was it. Every time you'd bring up something that was being done that was wrong, the thing I heard most of the time from my fellow workers and my community brethren was, you're getting paid, aren't you? That was it. That's all it took. End of story. Nothing to see here. Don't get involved. Don't do any research because, hey, you're still getting paid. You can still go to the movies. You can buy a case of beer. You can go to the racetrack. You can watch your computer. You can see videos. I mean, isn't that what life is all about? That's the average person in America in the last 60 years. That I'm aware of. And so this, again, is the result. Your society now has had affirmative action and political correctness for most of my adult life. I have lived through the transition from the 50s and 60s, when it was still a little bit of the way it was supposed to be. All through my adult life now, I've watched as we slowly slip down that slippery slope that the Jews created for us into this dystopic world that we have today. And it all started with the feel-good, emotional affirmative action and political correctness bullshit that the Jewish, quote, intellectuals, even though they're not, telling us that they knew better. They knew the progressive way. If you really want to be a good person, here's how you want to do it. So Satan's kids lying to us on a daily basis, and we bought it. We bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. Never looked back. Gave up everything. Gave up our rights. Gave up our dignity. Gave up our family. Gave up our responsibilities. Because, hey, let's party, right? Party, party, party. And now, this is where we're at. I yield.
It's interesting.
Well, I think that. Go ahead.
Well, it's just interesting, John. You said, you know, it's money, it's money. Now think about this, because we're falling in the same trap in the thing. We're seeing, well, the prices are going up. You're looking at the wrong end of the telescope. The prices aren't going up. The value of the money is going down. So you got to charge more money. And we're blaming everybody else but the Fed that's doing this thing and the Jewish bankers who did it. But think about this now. Everybody here has made Campbell's soup, right? You take one thing of soup and you put one can of water in there, you make soup. Now, think about this. Now, wouldn't you have 10 times as much soup if you used 10 cans of water?
It would be pretty diluted.
Well,
yeah, it would be very watered down.
Isn't that exactly what's happened to our money?
Yes.
Yep.
Keep printing money and it's diluted, and so in order to get the same value, you got to drink 10 times as much of it. You got to spend 10 times as much of it, and that's exactly what's happening. But we're looking at the wrong end of the telescope. The money's losing value, and we're buying their bullshit.
Well, they made counterfeiting illegal, but they're doing it every day.
Well, for us, it's illegal. But I mean, yeah, it's
yeah.
And you know, and it used to be they could that's why they had the ridges on the silver coins, because they used to be, people would drill them out. It'd take the time to drill out the silver, the gold coins, and fill them with lead or whatever like that, because they could basically get steal value out of the coins, or they'd make them smaller and smaller. And but that's why you had the ridges around the coins to keep them from being counterfeited. But they got a lot better system now. They just make paper coins. And it's not paper gold. It's, in fact, it's paper. It's a wonderful thing.
It's worthless.
Now it's all digital, so we don't even know the difference.
Right.
Yep.
Now, your money from 19... I remember 1970. I think a stamp was 3 cents. And now they got these...
Yes, I remember that, too.
And before that was a penny, okay? But we had a 3 cent stamp in 1970. I distinctly remember that, because it was when I started a business back then. And that was, what, 65 cents, 70 cents, something like that? And so it's the same. It's probably a lot less effort doing it now, because they do it all computers and stuff like that. But it's 20 times, 30 times as much to send a letter now. And it's the same effort. So money's only about worth about maybe one-thirtieth, about 3%, 3 cents on the dollar. That's about right. And so, you know, if you had $1 million back in 1970, you were a really, really, really rich person. If you have $1 million
right
now, you're not average, but you're pretty damn close to average.
It used to cost you 12 cents to get into the movie theater when I was a kid.
Right, and that was a lot of money.
Yeah, 12 cents was a lot of money. That was 2 weeks' allowance, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my Uncle Tom went over to Spain back in 1960, and he was over there in Spain. He sailed a ship across, whatever like that. But he went out to dinner, and... They had wine. They had a big dinner, and they had wine, and a penny was too much for a glass of wine. You get two or three glasses of wine for a penny. It was way, way too much for one glass of wine.
Wow.
Awesome.
I remember back in the day, everything was closed on Sunday as well, but not so much, not anymore.
Right.
Yeah, the blue laws of Massachusetts, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
We had to go over to New Hampshire on Sundays to buy beer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's beer, booze. I mean, I think if as far as that goes, you should be able to drink or smoke or do whatever you want to do. It's none of the government's business.
Now, what killed those, was it Blue Sundays or whatever they call them, is when Walmart came in. When Walmart went on King's Highway in Pittsburgh, Massachusetts, all the stores were then open on Sundays.
Well, they're competing.
Yep. That changed everything.
I find it funny that now they're all blabbing about, oh, identity theft. Well, maybe if you just use cash only, you wouldn't have that problem. It's kind of, I find it kind of comical that, you know,
right.
Really? Identity theft? So now there's always somebody trying to, you know, capitalize, oh, protect your identity. You know, they only pay this much a month or whatever and blah, blah, blah. But there was never any.
Well, identity theft in this age has been a cinch for the Jews. All they had to do was have the United Nations declare that Palestine would be the new Israel after the Holocaust thing. And then once their land was named Israel, all the dispensationalists come out and said, hey, Israel has returned to their land. The Jews are now back in their land. The Jews are Israel. Therefore, the Jews became Israel.
Okay, just use cash instead of this your damn card and you wouldn't have that problem. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like that one group says, make cash great again.
Well, we're still dealing with paper. It is cash, you know, but I mean, you could, money is a tool. Money is a tool, you know, and also it's a way to keep track of things. You know, but when they devalue it like that, it's like having an elastic ruler. I mean, have you ever seen those? I used to have one on my work apron. It was a suspenders. But it was elastic, and it had a ruler on it. Okay, but you could make an inch, you could make a foot, you could stretch them out. You know, I mean, if you had an elastic currency, you had an elastic ruler, the results are going to be the same thing. People getting cheated, and it's really interesting if you look at that when they have the value of a dollar. You look up the value of the definition of a dollar in the U.S. code, is 371.5 grains of silver stamped into a coin. But that's in that section is in the area with weights and measures, because the dollar is not a thing, it's the name of a thing. It's not a noun, it's an adjective. I mean, if you said
right,
a dollar,
it's a weight.
It's a weight, yeah, it's a weight. If you said, I want to give me 4 gallons, you know, I would probably say, well, gallons of what? And if you say, hey, give me $5, it's very logical to say dollars of what?
Right.
Because a dollar is not a thing; it's the name of a thing.
Right.
It's all in the weights and measures part of the U.S. code.
Like 25 cents is a quarter of a dollar.
Right, and a dollar is 371.5 grains of silver, and so a quarter is one actually a little bit less than 1/4 of that because
exactly.
You know, but it's
the measurement. A dollar is like you said. It's what is it? You know, like if you think 25 cents. Is a quarter of a dollar, then the dollar must be that 4 times the equivalent in silver.
Right. Well, it is, but it's a little bit more than that. So 331.5 grains, I'm not sure what the silver content of a quarter is. It's pretty much close to 1/4 of a dollar, though, so yes.
Well, today there is none. Your coins are stamped coins are worthless. That's why your pennies are no longer copper. They're almost all zinc. All right.
Yeah, because a gold coin the same size as a quarter would be worth a heck of a lot more than a quarter that's made of silver.
Well,
right.
But silver and gold, used to be 20 to 1, then it was 32 to 1, 35 to 1, 40 to 1, whatever like that. But there was always a ratio, and right now the ratio is like 80 to 1 right now, gold value to silver value when you're talking about the Federal Reserve notes. So either one of them.
Wasn't it a rule years ago? I don't know too much about this stuff. I'll tell the truth. But when didn't they used to have gold in Fort Knox that they could not print any more money than the gold that backed it up in Fort Knox?
Well, that's exactly what the problem is, and always has been with a paper currency like that. Yes, that's supposed to be there. Who's watching them? I mean, who's watching the people that are watching? Supposed to be watching the thing. So. And I mean, have you ever seen the gold? You know, they show you pictures of something like that, but you never seen it. You never grab it.
I've never seen it. Nope.
Yeah. Neither has anybody else. Here's one. Have you ever seen Stevie Wonder's house?
No.
Neither has he.
That's a good
very,
one.
Very, very good.
I'm going to remember that one.
Well, that's a good one.
But we've never seen a goal. They're lying like hell to us, and we're believing it.
Everything has been a lie.
Hey, do you know how the Grand Canyon was formed?
Tell me.
Yeah, go ahead.
A Jew dropped a freaking penny down the crack.
I heard one similar to that. You know how copper wire got invented?
Somebody's fighting.
Two Jews were fighting over a penny.
Yeah, two Jews fighting over a penny. That's how copper wire got invented. So, you know, and when I was a kid, those kind of jokes were common. Nobody even thought anything about it. In fact, in the playground, back when I was only, I was about 6-7 years old, I can remember being on the playground and kids would say, "Stop trying to Jew me down."
Yeah,
somebody wanted to buy my bubble gum or something. He'd offer me 2 cents, and I'd go, "No, I want 3 cents." And what are you trying to Jew me or what?
Yeah, that was common when I was young too.
Yeah, because we knew back then, and we weren't ashamed to say it. I don't know. So where do we go from here? What's everybody's idea of what's? I mean, we got all the hoopla over the eclipses, but now we got the hoopla over the bridge in Baltimore Port. So what do you envision the next month? How do you envision it? What do you think is on the radar for us to be looking out for?
I want to hear the men's opinion on this. This is for me. I want to hear the men on this.
Well, I personally don't know. Like right now, I think it's just been kind of quiet, I guess. But what I've seen and heard, it's just that. Almost like what are they going to do next? But then again, you have to think that the Rothschild has died, that piece of shit Kissinger has died. So are they kind of reshuffling their deck right now, perhaps?
Those guys are all old. They're all 100 years old. I mean, they should have died a long time ago.
That's if they're really dead. How do we not know if they're on some island out in the middle of the Caribbean having a grand old time?
Maybe they are, but if they are, they're 100 years old. I mean, how long do you think people should last? How long should they live?
Well, I'm just saying we don't know. You know, a lot of these, quote, celebrities are just like Jeffrey Epstein. Is there anybody with a brain that still functions thinks that he died in that jail? I mean, come on. That's the most fake thing I've ever seen in my life. So he's somewhere.
They're still looking for Stevie Wonder's house, okay?
Yeah. I don't trust anything going on, to be quite honest. You know, I like to think that there are white hats out there. I talked to those guys back in 2010. This guy was he was retired from MI6 or something like that, and he called me, and we talked about the fact that the country was dying. Now, this was 2010, so that's 14 years ago. I still have the letter on file that he sent to me wanting to talk to me on the phone. And we talked about the fact of a military coup. And he asked me the day we talked on the phone, he said, "Dan, would the American people support a military coup in America?" And I said, "The real Americans would." I said, "I would even help." I said, "Knock on my door. I'll drive trucks. I'll clean latrines. I don't care. Just do something. The country's dying. If you're part of a think tank of military men at the Pentagon level," and I've known several officers that were in that kind of category, I said, "Don't you guys see that the frickin' country's dying?" I said, "You got to do something. Who cares if the American people understand completely? The country's dying. The communists are taking over. We got to do something." And guys we would support it. Trust me, we would support it 100%.
All these head honchos, George Soros, Kissinger, and all these old guys that have fallen over now, who is there in line to replace them? They have not produced any people that are younger than them that are worthy or even halfway idiots enough to run anything. There's nobody out there. It's got to fall. Who's left?
That's what I'm saying. Is that, are they reshuffling their deck right now? Is it kind of a just kind of a pause, perhaps, maybe a little?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that thing called Prince Charles. Is that the best they have?
Well, I'm hearing it from a lot of circles that we are in a mediocrity. Everybody's mediocre today. There's no real expertise like there was when I was a young guy. We could look to older guys that were ace mechanics or electricians or welders or fabricators or millwrights. There were lots of them all over the place. Now, it's hard for me to find a guy that I would trust changing the oil on my car, to be quite honest.
Prince Charles's picture should be on Mad Magazine.
They all should be on Mad Magazine. Let's face it, they're ugly on the inside and the outside. Go ahead, Kumri, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add for everything going on and what I see, pretty much if history, as we know, repeats itself and God, you know, keeps everything in order, we're looking at a most likely a major earthquake 3 months after the eclipse. Because everywhere, including the seven-year-apart eclipse in Turkey, and if we go back in our own history, everywhere there's a ecliptic X formed, proceeds 3 months after the largest earthquake in that area's history.
Boy, that hits the timeline, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. That hits Ella's timeline that she's been talking about. How long have you been talking about that, Ella? What, 6, 8 months? Maybe more?
Oh, God. I've been studying into that for 3 years or more. It was back when I was looking forward to, it was right around the beginning of the COVID scam thingy, because when that cathedral in England turned its services down and shut its church down and turned it into a COVID clinic, that seemed to mark the day. And three and a half years later, or the Daniel 12, 11, 12, the 1290 days to the 1335 days ended up to be July 28th, 2024, and September 11th, 2024. Exactly.
Well,
if that's the case, if the eclipse is April, you have July 2024, and 45 days later, you have 1335 days to September 11th.
Well, interesting. Interesting times.
What I've been saying for the last, what, I think 7 years now, Dad?
Yep, about that, yeah. Yeah, you've been talking about 2024 for quite a while.
You know, guys, and I'm arguing that, but I mean, back in the 1850s, whatever like that, there was a group of people, I think, in New York that gathered on a mountain or atop of a hill because they were sure that the world was going to end that day. And it's been coming. I mean, we've been told this for so many times, so many years, and everybody's right. But then they get to that point. Well, it was. We missed this day. We missed that day. We don't know. We really don't know. We think.
Hey, wait a minute. Have you ever read Revelation 3:3?
I'm not a big Bible person, but I mean.
Revelation 3:3 says, "If thou shalt not watch, thou shalt not know the hour I will come upon thee."
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, but I mean, we're throwing dates out.
I know people have become date setters, as they say. Right, that was right. A curse. You know, there's been 1994, 1988, 1987. I think there's been about six or seven since my adult years that people are saying, well, that's going to be the day because that's the day Israel came back to their land. And that was 1948. So add 70 years to that. since 1947, 1948 have added many, many date setters, but this Daniel 12, 11, 12 are specific days of a certain, when you shall see the abomination of desolation as spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then they look for the 1290 days, and blessed are they who come to the 1335th day. Those are specific times. So if that event happened, which I'm not sure if that event happened or not in the middle of January 15th, 2021, if it happened then, and those dates do come out to those exact same times, they could look them up. They add that 1290 and the 1335 add to those days. They come to those days. There's no getting around it. That's the first time in my 81 years that I've ever studied those scriptures that there have been actual days.
No argument there, but I'm just saying we're saying, okay, from this day here, and that's just that there's been many, 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 many times, date setters, whatever you want to call them.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
John's got the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One at a time. Go ahead, John. Finish it.
She said that we're right, the date setters, okay? And I'm not sure. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. All I'm just saying is that just be careful of being a date setter and saying, well, this is definitely this date here, that date there, and we got to measure from there, because we don't know. Now you're right. We know the time, and this is certainly whatever it is. My dad used to say, boy, this shit's gonna hit the fan one of these days. You know, and that was back in the 70s, and it was the 60s, and I said, well, the only thing I know for sure of it has been 70 years it's supposed to hit the fan, and it hasn't hit it yet. Okay, now we're getting pretty close. I can smell a lot of stuff, so I know that things are changing. I don't know dates, and I'm very hesitant to tie a lot of my effort into laying down days like that. I mean, and this eclipse, all these different things, earthquakes. I mean, there's certainly some good reasons for it, and I'm not arguing on that. But we should be prepared. But be careful what you're preaching, because when you do that, people when you pass that date, other people are not going to believe you anymore. So just be careful. I'm not criticizing anybody. Just be careful.
Yeah, but in Ella's defense, that's exactly how we feel about it, and that's why she said, if that event happened in January of 2021, then these dates would line up, and we see certain events. Even Christ said, you can discern the season by the coming of the blossoms and the fruits, etc., so you'll know the season. That's all we're saying here, because we agree with you, John. We don't set hard dates. And Ella has not set a hard date, because she always prefaces what she says with, if this event, if I was correct in identifying this event in January 2021, then these would be the dates. Okay, so that's a whole lot different than the date setters that I've run into, like Eli James, when he predicted 2012 was going to be the end of the age. And that didn't happen. So obviously he had egg on his face. That's why we don't do that. But here's the other problem. A lot of date setters proclaim it to be the end of the world, and everybody here knows that's not what Scripture says. It's the end of an earth age. It is not the end of the world. Nothing in Scripture predicts the end of the world. It predicts the end of the world as we know it, and a new heaven and a new earth, but not the end of the world as in catastrophic destruction.
I think it's going to keep around and spinning around. It's going to shake us off like fleas off a dog. You know that?
Well, you know, there are things in the Bible, if you don't read the Bible and you don't understand it, you can't know some of the things that are out there to understand. I've been studying this since my mid-20s, and I'm now almost in my mid-80s. And that's doing intensive Bible study 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what I've been doing. And there was a saying in the Bible that no man knows the day or the hour. That's in the book of Matthew. Well, at that time that Yeshua said that, That was absolute truth. At that time, Yeshua had not risen yet. Nothing had happened yet. So it was impossible for anybody to schedule when the end of the age would be, because the age had not begun yet. But later on, when it says in Revelation 3:3, if thou shalt not watch, thou shalt not know the hour I will come upon thee. The age had begun already, and it is going on, and we are to watch the times and the seasons. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Everywhere in the Bible it says watch, therefore watch, watch, watch. And also, if you read Luke 21, the whole chapter, it's all about the end times, watching for the things that are going on around you, the way the nations are going, the way the people are thinking, and the abominations that are going on in the world, and the more evil coming in. 1 and 2 Timothy are full of those things. You have to know the whole Bible all the way through to read it and understand it as a direction of how to live life on this earth and what to look for when you see the end of this age coming. That's all I'm saying. I'm not given, you know, I'm not like these kooks in the past saying, oh, he's going to come riding on a white cloud after that, after the first asteroid hits the third rock from the sun or something like that. That's stupid. I'm just saying, I'm coming from a learned experience of understanding what the Word of God says, as much as the Holy Spirit has allowed me in my 80 years of life of understanding it.
That's all. Not criticizing at all. I just mentioned, just be careful, because you know what's going to happen. Let's say on July 28th, nothing happens, okay?
Then I was wrong about that time. So it's coming soon then. Because the world is falling apart. Something has to happen soon.
I'm not arguing that at all. I'm not criticizing. I understand that. All I'm just saying is that, you know, I've seen these dates come and go. And everybody says, well, I was wrong about this or wrong about that. I says, that's true. There's no argument about that. But I just be careful when you lay a date like that on there, right? Because if.
Well, do you have any idea what he was talking about when he says, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet? Watch. Do you know what he's talking about that abomination of desolation?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as Sodom and Gomorrah and everything else. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm just saying,
the thing that destroys everything is when people tell people that, as the pastors in churches have told them for years now, is don't ever get set a date, because the Bible says, no man knows the hour or the day. No man knows the day or the hour. So don't make dates. Date setters are forbidden. They're false prophets. So you know what they're telling you? Don't pay any attention to what's going on in the world today, because it's not going to do you any good. And I do not go along with that.
I'm not. You know, don't try to save me. I'm not arguing about that. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm just. Laying it from a different point of view on the thing of what people what we normally take from that. When I hear a date, even though you say if this date is correct, a lot of people, when they hear a date, that's immediately what they go to, and they forget everything else.
Listen
to this. Only the Father knows the date and time, but. So, I mean, we really don't know.
Wait a minute now. That's not what he said.
Well, listen. Only the Father knows the day.
No man knows the day or the hour, not even the Father. That happened before the resurrection. Whatever could not be known back then can be known now with observation. The thing is to find the correct ways of observation.
Well, here, before we get into a debate, remember, we don't know what calendar we're even on is right today, okay? So let's step back for just a minute. He did say we could know the season that we're in. He did say a prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. That's in Proverbs, okay? That's all we're really saying here. John's caveat about dates would apply if we were talking to a group of normies out here. The people that come to this talk show are not normies. They know what Ella's talking about. So we don't have that danger here. That's why we speak freely, John.
Okay.
Out there, you're right. If I was to go to a Methodist church or a Baptist church and start talking like that, they would tune me out and they wouldn't listen because they don't know what we know here. We come to this forum and we speak freely about these things because most everybody here is Bible students and identity people who know who's who in the zoo, and we know what Ella's talking about. So that's a slightly different thing. So your warning has merit talking to the normies, but we have the liberty of being more open here and talking about more esoteric things because of the fact that most of our people have that knowledge. You see what I'm saying?
I accept that. I accept it. I'm not trying to get in a fight with anybody. I accept that. When I hear this stuff, my wife just come walking in the room. She says, "You listen to some weird people." That's what she said. And I said, "But I'm learning. I'm learning all the time. Whatever like that. I'm not criticizing. I want to make sure he knows I'm not criticizing. I'm just from a different point of view. I'm just putting it to a different point of view on a thing because." I've seen this stuff. I'm a recovering Catholic, for God's sakes, and for 50 years I had the stuff rammed down my throat, and it was 50 years ago anyway, and I don't need it anymore. I haven't needed it for 50 years, and I should just shut my mouth and just listen. So, but I'm just telling you what my reaction was. So,
right.
Be that as it may.
Right, Jeremiah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add that that's one reason I stay away from dates. I look for signs, and I go based on signs. That's why, like I was telling you, for 7 years ago till today, something's going to happen leading up to 2024, and I knew the halfway mark, something's probably going to happen. And sure enough, COVID happened halfway from 2017 to 2024, and that's why I look at the fall of 2024, because I don't even know what day it is. I just know that 7 years ago from this fall was a very important sign in the heavens, according to Revelations, and that now with this coming eclipse is another very important sign. And so I know at least to be paying attention to these, and that's why I personally stay away from dates. I don't like to pick out dates or even give dates because, like he said, if it lands on a date that you said and it doesn't come to pass, you're going to be looking like, you know, a liar. But then it might happen, who knows, 4 days later, because it's all up to God for which exact day. But we are allowed, like you said, to know the seasons and the time. So when I'm picking the fall of 2024, I'm not picking a date. I'm just saying if this sign, celestial sign that occurred in 2017 was true, then the fall of 2017 or of 2024, something major might happen. Is that the do-all or end-all? I don't know, but something important might happen. Now, I know people who think that the end date or ending is in 2030. Where they have the optimism to believe we're going to last that long, I really love to know because I sure as hell don't have it.
And neither do I. Neither do I. I'm not arguing that at all. We got a solar eclipse coming across the United States. There, how many other solar eclipses are there all over the world? Is this the only one, or is it depending on where you're at in the world? I mean, in the southern hemisphere, northern hemisphere, are eclipses happening all the time? We're just talking about this one because we're up here. I don't know. I'm not an astronomer. I don't know these things.
Dan.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, you lost me a little bit. My finger hit the wrong button, and I got rid of the call. I hope people didn't think I left just because I was angry or not, but I wasn't.
No, well, when you dropped off, you just lost your signal.
No, my finger hit the arm of the chair, the finger on my hand that I can't control, and all of a sudden it went whoop.
Go ahead, Cody.
All I can tell you is I don't think they're gonna ever, at the time being, relinquish their control of the money. So I think what they're gonna do, I mean, that's their kind of like their big power, is control of the money. So I mean, I think they're gonna go through with their digital ID and their digital currency. So I think most people have to really think about how the best way they can to get out of the Babylon, basically. And we should always be prepared. Another thing, just, you know, always like a Boy Scout, always be prepared no matter what. So
exactly.
We gotta think how we get out of Babylon, you know.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you said you don't know what calendar we use and everything, so naming dates and everything don't do anything. But, you know, when we think about the time that we're in, the seasons we're in, and the start of that, the whole search for that time itself wasn't just with me. It was from a site called the Axe of Thomas, A-X-E of Thomas. And from there, there's been other people that have come out with the fall of 2024, just as Jeremiah has. My date that came from the Acts of Thomas on the 1290 days and the 1335 days didn't come from any specific calendar other than the one we're using today, because of that date that church shut down and seemingly became the abomination of desolation looked at. But then when you read like Luke 21, like you did last Wednesday, that showed us what can happen as we look up and we see things happening, men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that are coming upon this earth. That goes right into it. When we're looking at eclipses and all the fear porn that's going on now, what it says at the end of that chapter is, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So when we're looking at all this time, and Jeremiah's 3-7 years, and then the 3.5 years, and the ones I got from the Acts of Thomas, and that other one, I think I sent you a couple of links on a couple of others that have come to the same time period. When we look at Luke 21, I think 36, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, when you see these things happening, we might be at that time, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's going to be on a day, but the timeline in Daniel 12:11-12 lines up day to day perfectly with today's calendar. But the whole thing is we are to be watching for these things, the season of them happening, and it looks like we are in the season. And that season is coming to an end by a lot of people's predictions in the fall of 2024.
Right.
I think we'll know in about 2, 3, 4 months, won't we?
Yep.
Yeah, we will. Yep. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, right.
I'm excited. And if it looks like that's going to happen, it gives me hope in this evil, horrible world. I can wake up in the morning and say, we may only have 3 or 4 months to go. We don't know, but it's hope. And while the world is telling us we're going to die, there's hope saying that something's coming that may be totally, wonderfully, beautifully from out of this world that we could never have thought of. It could be that change. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We have no idea what it's going to be, what form it's going to take, or how it's going to take, but we have hope that sometime within the next 3 or 4 months, something's going to change. That's all.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, because I know he was asking about astronomy. All I can tell you is from the research I've done, and watching the several eclipses that have occurred, including the 2017 Great American Eclipse, the annual eclipses of 2021 and 2023, and this coming eclipse, I have never found any in the history of what I could look up online that forms an Aleph Tav over the United States.
Well, here's something even more down to earth and in your face, okay? Look at all of the fear porn that's being poured out by the trusted voices dealing with this eclipse. Totally, totally out of line. EMTs being put on alert. National Guard being put on alert. When has that ever happened for an eclipse? Like, never, okay? Never. Okay, so are we seeing some things happening that are completely out of order? Yeah, we sure as hell are. So, again, signs, look at the signs, okay? Common sense tells you, look at the signs. Like Proverbs says, the wise man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. We see that we have treason at the highest levels of government. We have treason at the state level. We have invaders coming across our border. Those aren't suppositions. Those are realities. We have nobody in a government office representing us any longer. How much more warning do you need that you got trouble heading your way? Okay? Whether it's a month from now or 10 years from now, it doesn't matter. You've got serious trouble heading your way, and it's getting more serious by the day. So it's up to your own discernment as to how soon you think you need to be prepared. Okay? The word tells us that if you're wise, you prepare for disaster at all times. When I was a boy, we didn't have any of these things happen, and yet we had a stocked pantry. We had animals in our barn that we could live off of and eat. We had a garden to grow food. We had a creek and a spring for water. We did that every year. That was just part of our life because you never knew when there was going to be a flood, which that did happen a couple times during my childhood. The floods came in and washed out the bridges. You didn't go anywhere. You could have a winter blizzard, and you weren't going to go anywhere. I've had that happen to me a couple times. So the prepared man, just like the Amish do all the time, you prepare by stocking up your pantry, having your equipment in working order, have a couple spare parts on the shelf for something that's hard to find. Okay? Those are just wise things to do because you never know when disaster is going to hit. And on the other hand, you have some very serious, ominous signs in the geopolitical world going on right now, that says something big is about to happen. We don't know exactly when or how, but I can tell you this much. The Patriot community was all abuzz right before 9/11. We were off by about 6 months. But the Patriot community, back in that day, I was part of the Fax Network and all that. The Patriot community was all abuzz that something big was being planned. But we were off by about 5 or 6 months. And then all of a sudden, 9/11 happened. So the rumblings and the canary in the coal mine are going off, as far as I can tell. That's all I'm telling people. My canary in the coal mine is warning me that something big is about to happen. So you got to do it day by day. You just take it one day at a time. The preparations you make should be the same regardless. If it's tomorrow or 2 years from now, doesn't make a difference. On a day-to-day basis, we should be preparing as best we can as individuals for some disastrous geopolitical event. I mean, look what they did to that bridge in Baltimore. Who would have guessed they would do something that dramatic? Okay, true, 9/11 was pretty damn bold. But that bridge was pretty damn bold too. Okay, so they're quite capable of pulling major stunts that will greatly disrupt your life. So every single person should be preparing for that kind of thing all the time, because we don't have stability today. We don't have stable, righteous leadership anywhere at this moment. That's why we're all looking up for our redemption to be near, because in Luke chapter 21, it's true. When it talks about the coming of the Son of Man, these are the types of things it said would be going on. That's all we're trying to get people to understand, is these are perilous times, no doubt about it. How many people do you know died? I've got a lot of my friends and relatives that are dead now, thanks to COVID and that damn poison that they put in their bodies. I've lost them. That's a reality. That's not a supposition. That's not in a fairy tale. That's real life. I lost my cousin, same age as me, closest to me, actually, my cousin. Lost him. My brother lost his best friend. These are realities. My uncle just passed over. My dad's brother just passed over. Same thing. He put the shot in there, and now he's gone. Those are realities. Those are happening around us right now by criminal elements all around us. So I don't know how anybody could say that things are going along smoothly. So we're already on a bumpy road, and it could get a lot bumpier. That's all we're saying. Being prepared. Be prepared mentally, spiritually, and physically. That's our job. We're always told to be prepared on all three levels. Go ahead, Jeremiah. You got your hand up. Take your hand down if you don't want to say anything. He must have stepped away. Never mind. All right, we're getting close to, believe it or not, 2 hours. It's hard to believe, 2 hour mark. So we'll open the floor up for any final comments. Anybody have anything they want to say in closing?
Yeah, just God bless everybody, and thank you for your input, for everybody's input. That's what makes this gathering the what it is. We all have our way of talking, speaking, and getting our thoughts across and everything, and we respect each other's opinions for doing it. Thank you so much, and God bless all.
Yeah, very good point. Thank you, Ella. Anybody else?
I got to go talk to my wife, so that's good. So we got to quit.
Tell her you're done talking to those weird people, right?
That's it. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else have anything? I'm going to go ahead and mute and close this out in a prayer. So sit tight for just a second. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We just also thank you that we can speak freely amongst ourselves, open debate. We're not a sounding board or a echo chamber here, never have been. Sometimes we'll have differences of opinion, and it's fine. And that's what it's all about. But we still remain family. We still remain friends. We still look out for each other, pray for each other. And we will still network each other as we come to know truths and find out information. We know that these are the perilous times that you told us about. They've been getting worse and worse as the decades have rolled on. And we certainly believe that we are at a very critical juncture in the timeline at this moment. But as always, on a day-to-day basis, you walk with your children. And we thank you for that. You bless us with the Holy Spirit. You bless us with the teachings and the prayer time that we spend with you and the communications with you. And we know that the liars and deceivers out there, they're going to continue to do what they do. To that end, we just ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And we ask all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.